Thanks for coming out this rainy evening, and welcome. Good to see all of you tonight, and also welcome to those who are joining over the Zoom line. So we are in James chapter 4. Verses 1 to 6. Okay, so I'll read this portion, then have a word of prayer, then we'll open up. James chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war against your members? You lust and you do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the spirit which he has made to dwell in us. But he gives greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. May the Lord add his blessing upon reading of his precious word. Let's look to the Lord and ask to bless our time once again. Father, we thank you for your mercies, your goodness, your love for us. Thank you for your word. Search our hearts, O Lord, through your word, and help us to know what needs to be corrected. May the scripture show us, cut us, and help us to. And also we pray that you give us the grace tonight. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So James opens this portion with a question. What is the question? Right. Where's the fight and quarrels, or what is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? So I also started the message with a couple of questions. Anybody remember what were the questions? My introduction Sunday.
It was alluded
to that, but there was a couple of questions I asked. The question was, have you ever been involved in quarrels and conflict? That was one of the questions. Have you ever been involved in any kind of conflict or quarrels? That was one of the questions. The other question was, are you in conflict or quarrel with anyone right now? Those are the two questions. So basically, this portion applies to us. We can look back to our lives and see, you know, there were times we might have been involved in some kind of conflicts and quarrels. It could be in the church. It is applicable to church, you know, that is there just because the church is there. It's part of that application. And could be home, marriage, family, relationship. So it's within the community of Christians. You know, we don't fight with the world. It is not talking about the world, the quarrels in the world. It's among you, among us. And wherever there is relationship connections, because we usually don't fight with our neighbors, because we only just, you know, if you're very close, we might fight with them. But, you know, we fight with people who are, we are very close, because, you know, neighbors, we just say hi and bye. How is the weather? You know, that's all. But home or people we know, we get closer and closer. So we know our everyone's faults, right? So, like, you know, Val knows me more than anybody else. I know Val, so he knows everything about me. Sometimes probably she's not able to stand those things, so, or I'm not able to stand, so then conflict happens. So in the context of the church too, it happens, because we know each other, we spend time together, we are fellowshiping, we are one body. And sometimes we don't like certain things, and we fight, or we have a conflict. But that is the application is for us, because it happens. It happened in Corinth. It happened in Galatia. It happened in the first church in Jerusalem, right? It happened in the church in Jerusalem. And it happened in Corinth. It happened in Galatia. It happened in Philippi, because the whole second chapter of Philippians was written to show them to consider one another better than themselves. And the example was Jesus. Yeah, the garden, or right of, you know, Cain and Abel, Abel and Cain. The conflict was there. So the conflict was through the history. You can see Philippi, there was two sisters in the church. You remember their name? Eudia and Syntyche, chapter 4. They were fighting each other. And so we can see that all through the scripture, and it happened through the history in the church, and happens even today. So it's applicable: church, family, marriage, home, relationship. It happens everywhere. So the application is for us. So the principles we'll gain, what we need to do, and what are the causes and what are the cure. So let me ask you a couple of questions. There were three scriptures were read by Max introducing this message. Anybody remember those scripture portions which were read? Yes. 1 Corinthians 2:14 to 3:4. 14, 15, 16, and chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. That was the first portion. And anybody else remember the second portion? James, yeah, James 4, 1 to 6, the portion we are studying. And there was another portion read. Anybody remember that? John, 1 John, chapter 2, verse 15, 16, and 17. Because it has connection to the message. So there were two kinds of people. The scripture says two kinds of people are in the world. So remember those. That was from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 to 16. Anybody remember that? Who are those two kinds of people? Natural and spiritual, right? So that word, natural, comes from the Greek word psukikos. That is, psuke means soul. Psukikos means pertaining to the soul. That means a natural man, or a fleshly man, or a man of the world, man of the flesh. A natural man, that means he has no spirit of God. He's a natural man. So he lives for the desires of the flesh. That is natural to him. So the other kind of man, spiritual. So he is born again. He has the spirit of God within him. But even the spiritual man has struggled, because he lives in this body. So he has, you know, he lives in the world, And Satan uses the world and the flesh to bring temptation to a spiritual man. That's where we face our temptations. But there's a third kind of man in chapter 3. Anybody can identify that man? He's a spiritual man, but there's a natural man, there's a spiritual man, and in the spiritual man, there's another man, another kind in chapter 3. Anybody can say, who is he? He's a carnal man, right. Who is a carnal man in chapter 3? Is he a believer or is he an unbeliever? Read the scriptures. Let's read that chapter 3, verse 1, 2. Right. He's a believer because the letter was written to believers. Corinthians, that letter was written to believers. They were saints, but they had all kinds of problems, right? So this is a man of the flesh. He's a carnal man. The reason he's a carnal man is of the world, is worldly in the sense he's a spiritual man, but he's worldly because he is an infant in the Christ. He's not mature. So what are some of the characteristics of this man? Read further. What are the characteristics of this? He's a believer, but he is carnal, is fleshly, is of the world. Verse 3 gives us some of his characteristics. Can you kind of identify some of those characteristics? It says, there's jealousy. There's strife. What is strife? Division, quarrel, right? Fighting, jealousy, envy, right? And they are fleshly. They act like mere men. That means they act like unbelievers. They are believers, but act like unbelievers. So now keep that in mind. Now let's come to James chapter 4, verse 1. So there are two kinds of wisdom. We saw two kinds of man, and there are two kinds of wisdom. What are those two kinds of wisdom we studied last couple of weeks? Earthly wisdom, then? Heavenly wisdom. What are some of the characteristics of the earthly wisdom? You can look at chapter 3, verse 13 to 18. We see the characteristics of those earthly wisdom. What is the name? Right. Yeah. So it says that he's selfish. He has a selfish ambition, right? He is envious. He has jealousy. So who had jealousy in 1 Corinthians 3? The carnal man, right? But earthly wisdom is evidenced in jealousy, selfish ambition. And when you look down, what else? Arrogant. Verse 14 says arrogant. Lie against the truth. Prideful. So these are some of the characteristics of the earthly wisdom. On the other hand, what are the characteristics of the heavenly wisdom? Pure, peaceable, gentle. Yeah, without hypocrisy. Open, reasonable, full of mercy. Then, good fruits. Then, look at verse 18. What it says, chapter 3, verse 18. And the seed of whose fruit is righteousness is shown in peace by those who make peace. That means they sow in peace and reap what? Righteousness. So they are peacemakers. They sow in peace. So what is the difference between those who have earthly wisdom and those who have heavenly wisdom? People who have heavenly wisdom are peacemakers. people who of earthly wisdom are troublemakers, right? Yeah, they are there. So now it is. So now you see why conflicts and fights comes among Christians, because when we act like babies, what the babies do? Babies cry. Babies fight. Babies, I want that. I want everything. Yeah? What? Disobey. And want me, right? Babies don't know anything better. They say me, that's all. When we act like me, what are we doing? We act like babies. That is, now you know where the fight and conflicts come from? Where? From me. From me, right? From me, that they acting like infants. So that is the now kind of, so chapter 4 is a continuation of chapter 3, the wisdom. The description is in chapter 3, and then chapter 4 has the application. So two wisdom is applied here, showing that if you apply earthly wisdom, you fight, you quarrel, you war, you kill, you are envious, you lust, you live for pleasure, but you apply heavenly wisdom, then you are peacemaker. That means you are, it's not me, it's Christ. It's Christ is on the throne of our heart. It is not me. So that is where we are. So six verses, the title in my message was, anybody remember the title of the message? That was the title in the bulletin. Yeah, what was the title I gave in the message? Right. Anybody remember that? Who said that? Yeah, oh, that's right. The cause and the cure, the causes and the cure for conflict. So, what are the causes? The four causes were identified in the message. Can you name those?
Earthly wisdom.
In the message, in chapter 4, verse 1 to 6, there are four. Yeah, earthly wisdom is the main reason that, you know, when we operate based on the philosophy of earthly wisdom, these things happen. But from the text, we kind of pulled out four reasons, four causes.
Hedonism.
Hedonism. That is pleasure, right. Seeking pleasure, yeah, right. The second one?
Lack of prayer.
So we pulled that from the text. Then third one?
Wrong prayer,
wrong motives. And fourth one? Well, right. So that were the four causes. What was the cure for conflicts and quarrels?
Peace, which is applying godly wisdom to the grace of God.
Right. The grace of God is in the text. We are pulling these things out of the text because the way the word of God is given, the spirit of God is giving the word. When we look at that, that flows out of the causes, then the cure. Because the scripture shows us where we are wrong, then gives us the solution, how this can be resolved. What is the cure for our disease? We know what is the disease now. It's me, right? It's me sitting, me. That is the problem. Now, the cure is grace of God. So how to receive that grace, maybe that's the way I think, but Dave is going to take that message next week, and as the Lord leads, Dave will present that as the Spirit of God leads him. So let us, so now we saw the causes and the cure. We connected. So now come back to what Nate was saying. What is the relationship between wisdom and this passage? earthly wisdom. You know, right? You know, the causes were all caused by the earthly wisdom, right? In that sense, if you can put all that in one under one heading, it's earthly wisdom. You're right in that sense. But so all those pleasure, prayerlessness, and wrong prayer and worldliness is all comes under the earthly wisdom. That is the nature of the earthly wisdom. So now the four causes. Number one was hedonism, right? Hedonism, that comes from the word heathen. That word, I don't know, I have an NASB, it says pleasure. ESV probably will say passions. Some other translation may have desire. Anybody else have any other word for that? Yeah, that is. So, hedonism, the pleasure. So, that word, what is that, if you define, so hedonism means a strong desire. Strong desire. It has negative meaning, negative application and positive application. But in the scripture, it is given negatively. That means a strong desire for pleasure. What gives pleasure to my soulish nature, my earthly, my fleshly nature? What does give pleasure to my base nature, my fleshly nature? So that is the negative way. The positive way is Christian hedonism. We can say Christian hedonism. That means there's a strong desire for exalting Christ. Yeah, so John Piper, you might have heard him, his ministry is called Desiring God. So he took this word and applied it in a positive way. Desiring God means Christian hedonism. Hedon, that pleasure point in your heart where yourself wants to rule, he wants to exalt Christ. Then he kind of took that. If you look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, let's look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. It says, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness, Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or death. So Paul says that here, his desire is that Christ be exalted, glorified in my body, even through life or death. Then verse 21 says, for me to live is Christ. So his desire is somehow exalt Christ. Does not matter what the cost is, life or death. So this is how John Piper put this way. He says that God is most glorified when we are most satisfied in him. God is most glorified when we are most satisfied in him. See, when we are not satisfied in him, that's when we fight and quarrel. Because we are trying, because our flesh desire to be satisfied in pleasure. Pleasure can, our soul can get pleasure from a lot of things, right? It is not only sensual things or appetite for the bodily needs, power, position, fame, you can name it. Many things bring pleasure to the carnal mind. But a Christian spiritual mind says that I am most satisfied when God is glorified. So the negative way, the hedonism or pleasure says, the goal of life is to have pleasure. Goal of life is to have pleasure. That is the carnal mind. What is the goal of the world, the carnal mind? Before we were saved, what was the goal of all our life? Eat, drink, be merry, tomorrow you die. Right? Have pleasure. Now, in connection with that, I asked the question, what is the shorter catechism? Yeah, so what is the goal of life? Man, it's to glorify God and enjoy him forever. So now see that, when is God glorified? When we are most satisfied in him. He's glorified. So we need to, so that is where the struggle is. So let us come back to James chapter 4. So the question is that, what is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? It is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members. So it is pleasure. So James identified the number one cause of this conflict in the believers. I went through the, it is written to us because it's among you. It was written to believers, and we know that we struggle with this. And they were struggling with that. Early church was struggling with that. Believers through the history has struggled with this. You think Christians don't have any issues? Christian marriages don't have any issues? Christian homes don't have any issues? Christian family don't have any issues? Christian churches don't have any issues? Problems are there. It happens when we are not acting mature. We act like babies, right? So it comes from an earthly wisdom. So we saw the pleasure that is wage war in our members. So there's an internal conflict going on. There's a flesh. We are spiritual, but we live in this flesh, in this world. There's a battle, right? Paul had that battle. Romans 7 says, I want to do certain things, I don't do it. What I don't want to do, I do it. And in Romans chapter 6, Paul says that, offered your members to unrighteousness, now offer your members to righteousness. So they were struggling with that. So the members is within our soul, there's a battle between God's will and my will, a battle between God's way and my way, a battle between flesh and the spirit. So a battle between earthly wisdom and heavenly wisdom. So that all comes because we want to do God's will, right? Every one of us here who are a child of God, those who are listening, each one of us wanted to do the right thing, please the Spirit of God. But we struggle because there's a flesh pulling us, the attraction of the world pulling us. So, yes. Yeah. So fighting it. So that's where some of the struggles comes. So then the other, another one, the lust, you lust. Lust is a strong desire for what we talked about, position, power, whatever. So you lust and you do not have, verse 2 says. So you commit adultery, you get angry. The murder is used, but it is anger. You're envious. Envy, lust is you want certain things. Envy is you want what others have, but you don't get both. So we quarrel and fight, basically. Now another way we can get what we want is what? Prayer. But the reason we don't get it, we don't pray. A man who prays, a woman who prays, really prays, sincerely prays, you will see that person will be less quarreling. Because what is prayer? Prayer is depending on the Lord, humbling before the Lord, right? Trusting the Lord. And when the Lord taught the disciples to pray, how did he start? How was that prayer started? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your name be glorified. So right away, saying that, Lord, it's all about you. It's not about me. Thy kingdom come, right? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's not like, you know, my will be done in heaven as it is in earth, but it is thy will. So it's right away there's a surrender, a will of God, a willingness to do the will of God. So all those things happens in prayer. So we are depending on the Lord. We are emptying ourselves. We are trusting the Lord. We are submitting. We are humbling. No person can pray without humbling, right? And so what happens when we pray? We truly pray in the presence of God, according to the will of God, then we will ask for less things for ourselves. Our desire will kind of be consumed by being in the presence of God, because that humility and humbleness. Then envy will not be there. What is envy? Envy is that I want somebody else has what others have. Right? Right. Envy is that. So say, okay, now intercessory prayer come into play. Okay, so I am going to pray for Dan here, right? Yeah, okay. So why do I pray, Dan? Why do I pray for you? Yes. But why do I, you know, a lot of people can pray. Why do I pray? Right. Anybody who prays for somebody, that prayer comes out of care. If you don't care for that person, you don't pray. Yeah. So prayer is, so Spurgeon said, prayer is the kernel and the words we speak is the shell. The kernel is the desire. So prayer is the desire for Dan's well-being. If I don't desire your well-being, then I don't have true prayer. I can pray with the words. It's hypocritical prayer. It's formal prayer. But a man or a woman who truly prays for somebody prays for that person's well-being. So if I'm truly Dan, I'm going to pray for you because I want you to have the best in life. And if you get mad at me for any reason, would I react if I truly pray for you? No, because I care for you. I want you the best. So I'll be a little more forgiving when you offend me because I truly love you. So we can apply this in marriages too. If I, you know, the person I most love is Val. If I pray and okay, I want the best for her. But if she offends me, would I react? Okay, in human ways, sometimes I do. But when you think spiritually, you want the best. Christ wanted the best for us. Oh, so he died. He intercedes for us today, right now. In heaven, he is interceding for us because he wants the best for us. And he gave the best for us. If he died for us, then would he, and he's praying, then we know that he cares for us. If I want the best for her, then if I, that is love. Love is seeking the best for those we love. And if I pray for somebody, the intercessory prayer, that means it comes out of care and love. Words are only that expression of that desire. So now let's apply that. So if we pray for one another, for our wife, for our children, for our brothers, sisters, siblings, church brothers and sisters in the Lord, would we fight? Would we? No, we will say, okay, then we will be more forgiving. We will be more sacrificing for them because we sacrifice for those we love. You can look in your own life and say, certain people, you take care of them because you love them. That's how you show your expression of love. So then that is applied in our body because we have that koinonia, fellowship. We are one part of one another. Then we will be more forgiving, more loving, caring. So intercessory prayer comes out of that desire. So if you do that, so prayerlessness is one of the reasons we fight, the true prayerlessness. And also when we pray with the wrong motives, right? Because we pray for our own things. Many times we ask for wrong things, so then the Lord won't answer. So then the other one is worldliness. Now, it says here, verse 4, you are adulterers. Friendship with the world is hostility toward God. What is adultery? What is adultery? Everybody knows what is adultery, right? Adultery is having an intimacy with somebody else outside of your marriage, other than your spouse. That's adultery, right? So it is a serious, adultery is unfaithfulness. It brings jealousy to the other spouse if that happens, right? That's natural. So what was the spiritual adultery in Israel? Idolatry. Why was God addressed the Israelites as adulteresses in the Old Testament? Yeah, right. Because there's God said, you should not have no other God other than me. And when that is, because Israel was God's bride in the sense, it's espoused, is God's. God was their Lord and their husband. And when they committed idolatry, it was adultery with other gods. It was loyalty going to somebody else other than God. So God called them. So then the New Testament, the adultery is because we are Christ's bride. And why it is called adultery when we love the world? Yeah, you don't love God. That's what it very clearly says, right? That's what in 1 John 2 said, do not love the world. Because anyone who loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That is completely antithetical, opposite. Yeah. Here it says enemy. Where it says love of the Father is not in him. The things of the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life do not come from the Father, but comes from the world. But here it says it's enmity with the friendship with the world is enmity with God. That is a statement. That is true. So when believers love the world, God is not our enemy. Don't misunderstand that. That is the statement. That is the true fact. When people who love the world, they are enemies of God. But we were once enemies. We have been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. He died on the cross. He brought us peace through Christ's death on the cross. And we are not going to be God's enemy. But see, it's showing that when you love the world, you're committing adultery. You're making God your enemy. So that is a no-no. That doesn't go. That's mutually exclusive. Okay. Right. Yeah. But the world here is not that, the flowers and the mountains. It is the system of the world, the wisdom coming from the world, right? So that is why it is wrong, because we are, that is satanic, that is natural, that belongs to the natural man. So when we love the world, because all these characters, this quarrel, fight, everything comes from this worldly nature. We are wanted to be like the world. Then that happens, we are kind of saying, we are kind of committing unfaithfulness to the Lord. That's why the Lord called us adulteresses. Okay. Yeah. I want to close now. So I want to just touch the cure. We saw the causes: pleasure, prayerlessness, wrong prayer, and friendship with the world. Now, what is the cure? The solution? Grace of God, right? So, grace of God always can help. Doesn't matter what we are going through, God's grace is sufficient enough. Greater grace, abundance of grace will be given so we can overcome the world. In Romans chapter, end of chapter 5 says, you know, so where sin abounded, grace abounded more. So then chapter 6 starts this way. Shall we continue to sin so that grace may abound? No way, never. We don't do that so that more grace. But when, if we realize that we have fallen, we have come short, you come and pray and the Lord would give us grace to overcome these situations. This is the sustaining grace which we read in the Word of God. Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he had a thorn in the flesh. He prayed 3 times, and the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. So, and in Hebrews we studied, in it doesn't matter what you are going through, come to the throne of grace, so he'll give you help in times of need. So the grace of God is sufficient. That's why I mentioned that every epistle Paul wrote with saying that grace be with you, and ended with grace be with you. We need that sustaining grace. It's not the saving grace, but it's the sustaining grace. And God will give us that. And without grace, we cannot continue an inch. We need God's grace. And that is the way to get is, one way is humbling ourselves. Because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humility is completely takes care of conflicts and quarrel, right? If you are humble, then me, it's not a me, it's Christ. So it depends on who is on the throne of our heart. It is me. What is the purpose of our life? To exalt, to cater our ego, exalt our desires, or is it exalt Christ? So is it Christ or me? That's the question. Is Christ. If it is Christ, all problems are solved. And we need grace to do that. So then God will help us. So we'll continue with these studies next week. Let's pray for Dave as he's preparing. So let us ask the Lord to bless this study. Father, we thank you for your word. Teach us more, so that we may be humble. Give us the grace to overcome the worldliness and the self in us. We pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Take us home safely now. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen.